So back before Christmas, I talked about Christmas being the season of lights, and now we're on the other side, and all the lights are taken down. I guess most of the lights are taken down. Some hangers-on, I suppose. Though I did learn this week that taking your Christmas tree down is a great way to know when it's Valentine's Day. So just a little tip I picked up. We talked about Jesus coming into the world as light and all of the Christmas stories that have light in them, that he is the glory of Israel. He is light to the nations. And even in the songs, light and life to all he brings, all the songs that have light in them, behold throughout the heavens there shone a holy light, Son of God loves pure light. Light, it's just filled with light. But the light about which we sing comes into a world of darkness, even darkness in us. And so we talked a little bit about how some of the Christmas songs have a bit of tension in them. In thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Hopes and fears of all the years met in you tonight. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night. Death's dark shadows put to flight. So Christmas seems to have a little bit of battle built into it, a little tension built in, like there's a war going on. The light of Christ coming into the world and doing battle with darkness. And that brings us to the new year. Happy New Year. Any resolution makers? Wow, we're passionate about our New Year's resolutions here. If you're new to Creekside, that's what you need to know. I'm not a big resolution guy, but I'm not anti-resolution. You can do them well and do them right. But it's certainly not a bad time to make a resolution. Am I right? So there you go. So this morning, my goal is not to give you a resolution to make. My goal is to give you a couple of prayers to pray, very simple prayers. And if you made resolutions that had anything to do with the Bible, these prayers will help you with that. Prayers about light. If you find in yourself, even as we sing this morning, this struggle with your own darkness, maybe even the beginning of the new year has pointed out to you some of those things once again that you want to fight with the grace of God by the help of the Spirit and His Word. Continue in this today with the prayer to pray, some prayers to pray about Christ continuing to shine in us. And I want to put these in the context of a series that I started back before Christmas, and then I was sick a couple of weeks, and then you probably don't even remember that I was in a series, but that's okay. I'll get you caught up today, and if you're new, you'll be right here. How does this happen? We talked about God's Word coming to us and then working in us and then going to the nations. And we had a couple of people here. We had Marvin Nicole talking about Bulgaria and Alan Bryant talking about Albania. And we did Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And then we started talking about how God's Word comes to us in the first place and how that happens. So Dan's going to put some slides up, and I'm going to walk through this real quick because it's overwhelming. You look at that and go, what in the world does that even mean? And so I'm going to try to get us all on the same page. You may not remember this diagram. You may. It's not been that horribly long, but you've celebrated a lot since then and maybe stayed up late a few times. So I'll start at the top. We asked, how does God get His truth to us? And so truth in God's mind goes through this process called revelation, where He puts truth in an author's mind, and that means God self-discloses. This isn't, I was walking along, I tripped and fell over God and said, look, there's God, I found Him. No, this is God saying, let me make myself known to you. And we saw that He makes Himself known in a general way so that everybody on the planet can look up at the sky and say, oh, the heavens declare the glory of God. There must be somebody really old, really wise, and really powerful who put this all together. And so, generally that, but then even more specifically, Hebrews 1 tells us, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. And so we know very specifically that God reveals Himself in Jesus Christ, but He has also revealed Himself very specifically with written words in what we call Scripture. So God reveals Himself, gives truth, and then the next step we saw is inspiration, where that comes through the author. Jeff talked about this one of the weeks I was out, where God inspires or moves an author in such a way that what ends up written down is what He wanted written down. He moves them along by the wind of the Spirit, such that you can get a verse like 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so we have this God-inspired, this God-breathed scripture. And then we went to the very next two steps. We did those in 1 week. Canonization and preservation means that the writings come collected together and they're preserved through the years in such a way that by the time Jesus comes on the scene, there's already a collection of writings with a beginning and an end that we would call the Old Testament. And he could refer to it as the Word of God, as Scripture. And within a generation of the apostles, we have even what is called the New Testament. And so we talked about preservation and canonization, kind of a standard. And that left us with this incredible verse from 1 Peter. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. All men are like grass, he quotes Isaiah. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. So Peter just speaks with incredible confidence that when he preaches, even the words of Isaiah, that he's preaching the very words of God, and they are the living and enduring Word of God. And all throughout the centuries, governments have come and gone, and as we saw from one of our speakers in December, confiscated Bibles, burned Bibles, shredded Bibles, time and time and time again. And yet we still have this imperishable, indestructible book. I don't know how much you own that's indestructible. I can tell you one thing you own that is indestructible, and that is the Word of God. And so it comes to us today, translated into thousands of languages, still many more languages to be translated. And we hold in front of us the very words of God himself in this book, in a language we can understand. You don't have to learn Hebrew. You don't have to learn Greek, Aramaic, none of that. You can just pick it up and read it. And we will see next week and week after that, as we realize what a privileged people we are, that we actually get to go to a store or get online, and we have all these different English translations to choose from, depending on the occasion, right? While there's still people out there would just love to have it in one. And so that brings us now to the very last step in that diagram. Actually, the next to last step. Next week we will do transformation. Today we do illumination, where God gets truth into my mind. Because here we are, it's gone through all the steps, and I hold it, and I open it, and the words hit my eyeballs or go into my ears. But what happens then? What makes the difference in someone who just picks up a Bible and reads it, puts it back down and says, well, ho-hum, got my reading in, and a moment where it comes to bear on you? It's like it's grabbing you and grasping you, and you're getting it, and it's getting you, right? Some of you may have made resolutions for this year that have to do with more time in this book. But what will be the difference between just reading it and actually seeing it? Because the goal isn't just to get it read. The goal is to have it do something to you, right? And so that answer to that question is, what's the difference, is the word illumination. Illumination is the ministry of the Holy Spirit where he opens our eyes. So not just that we comprehend the word, that's good, and not just so that we can apply the word. It's that moment when your eyes are open and the Word of God impacts your mind and your heart the way God intends it to. It's the Spirit in me who is the same Spirit who inspires the book, same Spirit, where he takes the book he inspired and makes it so that I can have a personal encounter with God through the words of the Bible. He gave us words that are living and active. And it's one thing to read them. It's one thing to hear them. It's another thing to have illumination happening where, just like we sang, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, where that happens to us. So, the Spirit gives it. The very same Spirit comes. Now why is this needed? Why? Why can't we just happen? The problem is this. The problem is, when it comes to spiritual sight, we do not see with our eyeballs. We see with our hearts. There's this time in Mark 8 where the disciples are having this discussion about bread, right? He's just done this whole multiplication and fed 5,000 people, and they're having this talk about bread. And Jesus is like, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? And he says, do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? What's wrong with your hearts that you can't see? And just on face value, that sounds weird, because you would think you would say, don't you have eyes? Right? What parent hasn't said that to their kid? Do you not have eyes? You left it sitting right there. No, Mom and Dad, I see with my heart. Right? And so that's why I didn't see it there, because it was, yeah, I don't even know how that works, right? So when the disciples came and asked Jesus, Matthew 13, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? He goes back to Isaiah. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, do they do not hear or understand. So he says, you can see without seeing. You can hear without hearing. And he says, it fulfills Isaiah's prophecy. Ever hearing, but never understanding. Ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it. Hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So he says, the problem is your heart isn't allowing. So there were these people that heard the parables and just went, huh, or got mad, or just said, forget it, this guy's talking about seeds getting thrown on the ground and treasures getting dug up and pearls. Why is he telling these stories? And some people would go, oh, this totally makes sense now. I never thought of it this way, right? Because their hearts were open and ready to what Spirit had for them through the words of Jesus. And so, illumination is when the Holy Spirit brings the word to bear upon his people. The Spirit's ministry of making the word of God clear or convicting or encouraging or whatever it is you need in the moment. There's a great prayer for this found in Ephesians at the end of, it's actually not chapter 2, it's actually chapter 1, but Paul's praying for the church in Ephesus, and he says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. And then he says, this is what I'm asking. I keep asking, so he's got this continued prayer for the church. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. There's our word. Illuminated. And he says what? The eyes of your heart may be illuminated, enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. So Paul says, I want you to have in abundance. I want you to have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit of revelation. And we use those terms way too loosely. You know, God revealed, and noticed how Paul defines this. He's talking about the Spirit, who is the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, the one who does all of that, that he would come in and apply that to shining light into your heart. And what does he say? He's not necessarily saying that you can see something brand new that you never saw before. He's saying so that you can see what you've already been given. You've already been given hope. Now your heart needs to see it. You've already been given riches of an inheritance. Now you need to have a heart to see it. You've already been given this incredible power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now I'm just praying that the Spirit will show it to you. So you go back to Psalm 119, and we'll go back here in just a minute as we close. But here's here you got a guy who speaks of the word of God, King David, just in such exalted terms about how much he loves God's word and treasures God's word. But he still prays this prayer, Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. He still prayed for light to shine upon the word of God and in his heart so that he would see the wonders there. And you see that it's not pray that the Spirit will impart some new extra biblical knowledge, but rather to open your heart to the promises already given. I hope that you find that encouraging, that just any Joe or Josephine with the Holy Spirit in them can open up Scripture, meditate on a verse, and pray for an open heart, and you can actually see what's there. This is what drives me crazy sometimes, going into a bookstore and I see these books and it's like, unlock the secret Bible code, as if the Bible is just this shaken up can of alphabet soup that God poured out and some dude found out how to count all the letters in Hebrew because they're actually numbers, and if you put them together, just write and draw a line and play tic-tac-toe and all this stuff, you'll come up with these great secret hidden messages. And I'm like, really, folks? No. No, this isn't looking for some secret kitten thing that you got to have a Dick Tracy decoder ring for. Sorry, everyone on my left, you don't know what a Dick Tracy decoder ring is, but this isn't hidden numbers and signs. This is the Holy Spirit who inspired it, Holy Spirit living in me, illuminating, opening my eyes, the merciful help of the Spirit so that I can have a life-changing encounter. Let me just put it this way here. These are some of the names of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible calls the Spirit who inspired, the Spirit who is in me. Now, how committed to this do you think God is? Who wants your heart to see? God does. He's not out there just like, ha ha ha, I see they're in numbers this morning and they're reading. Good luck, Christian. Right? Why don't you just go ahead and flip over to the Gospels, because this is going to be difficult. I hit a secret one right there in Numbers 3, if you read that name backwards. Right? No. It's like God is committed to this. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and knowledge and truth. He is the helper. It all comes back to the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth. That's the name that Jesus Christ called the Holy Spirit 3 times in his upper room prayer. The Spirit of truth, when the Spirit of truth comes. So, God is all for us in this one. My heart sometimes isn't. And I come to Scripture and I'm indifferent, or I'm foolish, or I'm prideful, or I'm apathetic, or I'm selfish. I just want to get it over with so I can check it off, because God's going to ask me for that when I get to heaven. Where's your reading list? Did you check everything off? No, you didn't. Sorry. Off to the other side of the tracks for you. No, it's just the Spirit of truth. I'm coming humble, dependent, expectant, willing to be taught personally by God. So let's have a couple of prayers to pray. Number one, and this is going backwards a bit, because I'm going to go ahead and give you, okay, I talked about not liking the whole secret Bible thing, but I'm going to give you a secret. You might want to write this down. Are you ready? The Spirit will not illuminate Scripture that you do not read. Is anybody writing? Yeah. It's very hard for the Spirit to illuminate a closed Bible. So we're going to back up and pray this first prayer. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Yes, thank you. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So, listen, duty might get you to the word, but it's much more wonderful when delight and desire get you there. Right? So, I'll put it this way. How do you lose your appetite for supper? Supper's at 6 o'clock. How do you lose your desire for supper? Probably not because you ate a big meal at 5:30. may have happened. That's your between you and the Lord. My guess would be you snacked. My guess would be you're not hungry for supper because you nibbled here and nibbled there and nibbled here and nibbled there, right? And then you just don't feel up to a meal. I think this is very similar to how we lose our appetite, our desire for Scripture. I don't think it's a great big meal of sin, right? I don't think you got up in the morning, got drunk, went next door, had a fight with your neighbor, and cheated with his wife. And therefore, you don't want to read your Bible this morning. Wild guess, may have happened to you, but I'm guessing for most people, that's not how it works. What generally happens is, by the time you've looked at social media, by the time you've got caught up on the game on your phone, by the time you got mad at politics, by the time you did this in the news, by the time you did this, by the time you did this, by the time you did this, you didn't have an appetite for Scripture anymore. Much less the time, because you got to go to work. Right? We desire all these little things, and the world takes away our appetite for the Bible. So, we back up, and we pray, and remember, this is a prayer from a guy who wrote the stuff. If he has to pray it, I got to pray it. Incline my heart. In other words, my heart will lean away from Scripture if you don't take it and lean it back. And I fear that oftentimes we Christians, we act like atheists because we say, oh, well, I don't want to, or oh, well, I didn't feel like it. And that's the final word, as if God can't do something in your heart to make you feel like it or make you want to. Okay, don't act like an atheist. God can give you desires. He can give you delight. And so you just pray it. God, I will desire a thousand other things if you don't incline my heart towards your word. So would you do that? Would you give me a desire to open this book? Would you give me the desire to see what's in here? Would you help me? Give me the desire so big that all the little snacks that I eat that take away the desire, that they would pale in comparison to my desire for Scripture. So, desire will get you further than delight. Excuse me, than duty. Delight will get you further than duty. So prayer number one, you wake up in the morning, and it's the first thing out of your mouth. Lord, incline my heart towards your word because I'm leaning away from it. Lean me back that direction. And then you get to pray. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. This is an Old Testament prayer. He didn't even have Matthew through Revelation. And the guy who even wrote a bunch of it still said, I might hear it. I might read it. And I might not see anything wondrous. It is possible. And I get this all the time when we're singing. This especially comes out as you sing, but it comes out in the word. You sing words like amazing grace, but you're not really amazed. Right? You sing about the precious blood of Jesus, but it doesn't capture you as precious. You sing the words today, we sang, I will adore you. And it's like, adore. Boy, that's strong. Right? It's not there, and it's the same way. It's possible to see something wondrous but not feel wonder. Right? It's possible to look at something glorious and not see glory. To see something marvelous and not marvel at it. To taste something and it's just kind of bland. It doesn't taste like honey. Right? Just to read about love that's so amazing and never just feel how incredible it is that God loves people who just aren't very lovable sometimes. To see just incredible power and not be in awe of that. To read verses like in Isaiah where he talks about trembling at the word of God, and to read that and not even tremble and go, why tremble, right? Right, so all of these kind of experiential occurrences that could be happening with an encounter with the Word of God, we never really take the time to realize that that happens by the Spirit working in our hearts so that we read in a way that's dependent, right? You read your Bible in a way that's dependent. Show me your glory, like Moses prayed. So, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. That's a wake up in the morning prayer. That's a if you're a before you go to bed kind of reader, I'm just going to go ahead and say even more difficult, because you know how much stuff there is to do around the house, right? Much stuff there is to clean and homework to get done and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you got to get the series, you got to get binged and finished, right? And it's like, oh, I'm so tired, I want to open that book, and it's just like, blah, all right? And you just don't, it's even harder at the end of the day. Just coming with dependence. God, turn my heart to your word and open my eyes. Two very, very simple prayers. And then just coming with that and saying, the Spirit who wrote, the Spirit in me, coming together so that you accomplish in me what you want to accomplish by the truth. So there, let's pray that together. Would you do that? Would you join me? Lord, what an incredible gift. What a book. What a book. The God of heaven and earth pulls back the curtain on himself, puts it in words, in print, and says, here you go, know me, and puts the Spirit in. This is astounding. And so for my dear, dear brothers and sisters in this room who, Lord, it's a new covenant promise. I will put my Spirit in you. I will put my word in your heart. So, to one degree or another, everybody in this room who has been made new in Christ already has a built-in desire for the truth of Scripture. So thank you, God, that I'm not up here this morning recommending the Brussels sprouts over the steak. I get to recommend the steak and the cheesecake to follow. And this is good. This isn't me trying to force the vegetables on people. I get to stand up here with the good stuff. And we want it. We want it because the Spirit's in us. And so, Lord, that desire just gets covered over with a thousand things. And you know every heart in this room. You know how distracted we are. You know that our desires take off in a million directions. And you know that our priorities get all bent out of whack. And our wants and our feels like just can just get so dangerous and so deadly. Even if they're not just, they don't seem enormously sinful. We didn't look up and it doesn't seem like we did something awful, but we're not hungry for the word. Lord, would you cause such an appetite in our hearts that nothing else in this world will satisfy but the truth of Scripture? And oh God, when you get us there, may we be a church of people. I can imagine us all sitting at that desk, sitting in that chair, sitting at the kitchen table, wherever it is. I'm just picturing it, God. We're all there. And the book opens and we come humbly and you begin to encounter us all across these neighborhoods, all around this church. You begin to encounter us with Scripture. And when we show up on Sunday, we've been hearing from you and we're hungry for more, and we begin to sing more passionately because we're singing the truth we've been reading through the week. And we open it up and our hearts are just just ready to be filled and to drink deeply at the wonders of your word. And we can't contain it, and we start talking about it at work and at school and the people we hang out with, because we've found a really good drink of water. We found something that tastes incredible. What a different world we can imagine when you begin to open our eyes to see. Would you do that, Lord? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.